be casual and fun.
I am. You know it's casual. Recording, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Pencil.
Boss, pencil. Pencil down. Pencil down.
Recovering. Okay, I'm here.
Recovered. Okay, we can go.
Hey, so we're going to talk about, this is our power series in a coffee and hustle podcast. Hearing from our experts, starting with, what's your name again?
Lori Fisher.
And yours?
Maria Brito.
So we're doing roundtable discussions on insights, knowledge, and the ability to push forward personally and professionally, right? We are experts in different industries, as you can see. And one of the things that we always ask is, do you feel stuck in your career? Do you need help finding a way to advance? And those are, I guess, a really good question to ask. And we are three powerful, I think very powerful women.
Yes.
And successful women that have come through the trenches and the holes, and we've climbed ourselves way up to talk about this series and really kind of enhance that different type of industries that you, no matter where you're at, we're going to have a solution for you today. And we're going to talk about this as well. We are helping you find your motivation. You're really good at that. Skills. We've had
skills
with a Z. And we want to take your career to the next level by doing that today and having that power talk on advancing your career one conversation at a time and transforming your inspiration so that you can focus on those next steps in your life. So welcome to our power talk.
Yes.
So, so I want us to go around the table a little bit and talk a little bit about what we do so that we can kind of talk about today about how to anchor your life, the smack of reality, and just those things that I think is so important to us to kind of resonate with each other, you know, because we've become friends over the years. Yeah. We've connected through other things and networking events. So, Lori, give us a little bit about what you do.
Yes. So I have a company called Just Imagine Coaching and Consulting. I focus on business coaching, business consulting, but I also approach it in a holistic way because part of my background is cognitive psychology and how your mind thinks and acts and yeah. makes decisions and goal setting. So part of what I look for in helping people is how do they kind of get out of their own way, that whole self-talk cycle.
I like it. Mm-hmm. And Marie, you do powerful women, mm-hmm. I mean, just a whole gamut. So give us a little taste of what you do, because it's just incredible.
Well, I'm a life coach. I'm a yoga instructor. I'm a breathwork facilitator. And I like to take women from this masculine world into a more feminine flow. Mm-hmm. And I do that with my retreats. You know, I take women and for 4 days, we just kind of detach from the world so that we can get really clear and let go of all the chaos so that we can find out what is getting in the way. What is keeping us small? What is the negative talk going on and why is it going on? Mm-hmm. So
let's start with that. Transformation, I think, is such a powerful word for us. And we use the word empowerment and success and all that. But I think transformation is something that we have to stay in tune with. Mm-hmm. So what has been one, if you could tell one of your success stories of transformation, is there someone that you could say really took that from what they did with you? They came in as one person and left as another person.
Mm-hmm. That's a good question. So I have a big disclaimer. Anytime any woman starts to work with me, it's like you're bound to piss somebody off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because the woman that you are today will not be the woman that you will be in a month from now working with me. Yeah. Because you're going to get really clear on what is yuck in your life and what you no longer will put up with. And so when women do that work with me, I've seen women leave jobs. I've seen women start new careers, open their dream business. I've seen women leave marriages that have collapsed, you know, that just has not been working for a while. I've seen women finally give birth to babies that they've been longing to birth and carry. So there's been a lot of breakthroughs through getting clear. And I think that there's so much going on right now, coming our way, so much information. We are completely overwhelmed
with noise.
I would agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Yeah.
I think that when we are clouding our judgment of with that noise, how do we, my thing is like staying in tune with yourself, I think is so important, and mm-hmm. figuring it out. I think that we all are broken individuals that come through the mud, and how do we, you know, cleanse that? And I think that when we start looking at these transformations, because I think that people feel stuck sometimes. I think mm-hmm. that they feel like this is the only decision I've got. And yes. how do you break through that, right?
So from my background, one of the things that we talk about is what happens when we get so into our comfort zone. And that's what you're doing, is you're helping them to bust out of the comfort zones, that routinized pattern that they've just gotten so used to. And we all, because we're human, we do that. I mean, that's the idea of, and especially here, at least in the United States, where we get into this pattern of how much doing can we do throughout our day. Mm-hmm. And so we just find a pattern of how to do that. We get up at the same time. We go to bed at the same time. We do all of these, check the boxes on a to-do list. And that has been our comfort zone. And yet that doesn't touch into our emotional state, which I think is what you have the power to do, is help people to really open up to that.
I do the somatic work mm-hmm. with people. I really get them to feel mm-hmm. into their bodies and feel their feelings.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important because we forget. Mm-hmm. And I think there's certain levels of, here's the role playing that we accept, right? Mm-hmm. We go through high school, go through that role, go through the getting the school or the technical degree, going to that role, and then getting the job role, and then having to be the parent role, the marriage role, you know, whatever it may be. So there's levels of roles that I think that we take on ourselves. But I noticed something, I think a long time ago, and I know this sounds weird, when I used to take my kids to drop them off in middle school, I would sit and watch the people in the cars in front of me or beside me, and I was like, wow, some of them just look horribly miserable. Mm-hmm. Like they look yeah. so run down and just robotic. And I was like, I hope that I never want to be that person. I want to be me and unique and stand out and say what I want to say.
Yeah. Well, I was going to just say that sometimes we don't know when we get into that space though. Like until you get
smacked.
Until it's
too late. Yeah, until it's too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think there is that part where we have to recognize those things. But I do think that when you have three different women here sitting here and we are working in different types of industries, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a structured one and I hope to make people money, you know, doing what I do. But I also try to break it down for them so that they can take those bite size of information so that they understand, because running a business is extremely stressful. It's, you never know every day what kind of phone call you're going to get, what email you're going to get, mm-hmm. and you've got to be able to roll those punches. And that is something that who's teaching that? Mm-hmm. They don't teach that in school.
Yeah, it's not a life skill.
And how not to take somebody else's energy. Mm-hmm. And that's where I come in. It's like, because we don't create those strong boundaries,
yes.
but we also don't take care of our energy.
I have a question about that. So let me ask that question.
Okay.
Because I think I wanted to ask the same question.
Do you have the same question?
I feel like it.
So the question is, how do you pull from your inner, you take on other, like, I understand it because we all do it, right? Business-wise, mm-hmm. we get the phone call, we have to handle the situation. Right. How do you take someone's negative energy and not almost feel like you're absorbing it so that you're not, so you can still always be the thing that everybody sees and represents. How do you do that?
I have my version, but I'm gonna yield to you and have you answer that.
So I teach this all the time. I teach this to people all the time, and especially to the women that I work with, is you gotta do that internal work. You gotta do, and for me, breath work is mm-hmm. a lifesaver.
Oh yeah.
And that's when I teach people breath, they're like, wow, like, I didn't know that would be so just healing in itself, mm-hmm. Because the breath is actually the conduit to release all that negativity and all that stress from your body. We have these amazing organs that are tools
yeah.
for us.
Yeah.
Our human body is magnificent, and we forget, and some people sadly don't know that we have that power.
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. I said this when the pandemic happened because it was like March 18th of 2020. And literally that week I said, you know, the world doesn't even recognize right now what we're going into because it pulled and extracted everybody into a corner, into a room, into a house, into a box. Mm-hmm. And I think just because of the stress of it too, is people were lung breathing as opposed to full diaphragmic breathing. And I'm sure you help people with that. I actually went that summer to get yoga instructor certified because I wanted to learn how to breathe better, knowing that I was going to be contained in this box for a while, not knowing when it was going to be done. But I said that people are going to need to learn how to breathe better in any aspect. So whether it's in their personal life or even in their professional life, because going into an office used to be the norm, and now there's still this flux of people that are in a home office.
I'm going to raise my hand. I can say, honestly, it did not bother me being in a box. Didn't bother me. I knew how to handle it because I've had that practice for so many years. And so I can say it was something that I had to learn over the years, because when I was side hustling, you know, back then it was just making some extra money, you know, to bring in, right? But then when I stopped the corporate job and went full blown into running a business, I had twin babies at home and my young child, my daughter, who was in preschool. And so I had them all at the house. Mm-hmm. And here I'm, you know, remote work was unheard of, you know, it was not the norm. And people would criticize you, go like, you got an office at your house? Like, that's weird. But the thing that I was doing every day when I first started out, and I know this sounds crazy, I had a cleaning addiction. I would get up, take care of the kids, take care of the babies, because, I mean, I don't know if anybody knows it, but we didn't have the magical machines that made bottles for us now. We made them by hand. And I was busy doing the mother chore and then the cleaning chore. And then I was like, and then by the time I got to the actual being productive part of my business, I was exhausted. And I was like, why am I having such a trouble balancing it? So, and the cycle just kept on going and on. And so at night when the kids, I finally would get them to bed, I get the babies to bed, I would work. I would work till 1-2 o'clock in the morning. So it was a lack of sleep, lack of energy. And so I came across an article about how to manage your time. And so I literally would set 30 minutes on the microwave, and that's all I would do for cleaning. Like, if I would do whatever, like it was make the beds, do a load of laundry, sweep the floors, whatever that 30 minutes consumed me by, so that I could manage more of my time doing the work I was supposed to do. And then I learned how to do production versus non-productive hours. Mm-hmm. And so I learned how to twist that around. So for me, COVID didn't bother me. I was more stressed out for my clients. And so that's why I started the podcasting, because mm-hmm. I wanted them to have this outlet to talk about what was going on with them, because they had no outlet. Mm-hmm. And so for me, being boxed in my room or office was no. So I know there's some people out there that are probably going, I did remote work, it was fine by me. I knew how to handle the noise. I knew when to turn things on, when to turn. Mm-hmm. So people I would talk to were like, I'm stuck in the bathroom, or I'm in the closet, or how do I handle office. This? This is crazy. Or I got a makeshift desk with boards and a chair. Yeah. And so for me, it was like, I was normal. Mm. It's my life. You know, this was normal for me. When we talk about one of the subjects that we did want to talk about today was to anchor our life. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to understand what that means. So what would you say anchor your life means to you?
For me, I had to learn this, but it really had to do with knowing what my values are in life. Like, what are my four or five core values? Faith, family, fitness, finance, and some other things that I put in there. But that's the driver of it. Yeah. It's what is, when I wake up every single day and I'm engaging with clients, what drives me from an energetic standpoint. And if I don't cover those in my day, I will feel off. Yeah. And so I anchor to that no matter what I'm doing. And sometimes it goes up and I have to make judgment calls on it. It butts up against sometimes work that I do. Like when a client is asking me for certain things and I'm like, back to boundaries. Like, no, I'm not going to give you my Sunday and my Saturday. It is, I will give you, you know, Monday through Friday, because people are going to want to take. And for me, that's what helps me to be anchored, is I really try to live daily on my values.
What, how do you anchor your life? Like, how do you get, you're a traveler, you're traveling all the time. So is there a moment in time where you like, okay, do you schedule that in your calendar?
The anchoring?
Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
And to me, anchoring, this is what I feel when you ask me that question, is do I wake up excited for that day? Right?
Yeah.
And if I'm not waking up excited, then something's off.
Yeah.
So I need to anchor myself, and I need to remind myself that this is what I wanted, right?
Yeah.
I mean, because even though I'm doing what I love,
right,
there are days that are stressful.
Yeah.
And this happens to entrepreneurs. It just happens.
Yeah.
And it's normal. But to remind yourself and anchor yourself back to your why.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Huge.
Yeah, we were just talking about that, right? Yeah. We were talking it's about, huge. Prior to this podcast, we were talking about the why has to outweigh the negativity. Mm-hmm. Because we are our own self-doubters.
Yes.
We sabotage ourselves. You know, and I'm guilty about that. I think I never really believed in myself. I never believed that I could be this far in my business. I never thought that this was my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought about being a business owner.
What got you there?
What, being where I'm at today? Mm-hmm. The pulling women in that have the same mindset. Because I thought I was crazy. I thought, well, this is crazy. I shouldn't think this way, but I feel this way. And so how I felt and feel had to come together. And so I wanted, my circle's gotten smaller. Mm-hmm. The people I talk to are very small. Mm-hmm. And I'm okay with that. I'm comfortable with that. At first I was like, I always felt like I had to have this, you know, extending my arms out to family and friends and all that. And I realized that those, and this is not to sound bad, but some of those people that you extend out to, that you think you can relate to or get that advice, they're not going to give you the advice that you are looking for, because you're searching. I think we search for it. And I think it's that we have to be in tune to realize that some of those people, if you don't like their advice, don't go to them. Don't call them up and ask them what they think, because you're going to get the answer that you're not going to want.
And the people, like friends and family in particular, the ones that are, you know, they're even spouses, they vow to love you.
Like, don't do that. Don't do that.
But
don't
they feel
that.
Like they're doing, you know what I mean? This good thing.
But it's fear based.
Mm-hmm.
They're projecting their fears upon you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I
and
think
that is why it's so important for you to keep your seeds to yourself. Mm-hmm. And only share them with people that will help you cultivate
the
them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know, and you have to understand, and I think Lori, you know, I call Lori a lot with my business coaching aspect, but also as a friend for me, and Maria, you're just a magnet of energy and just like thriving in this world of craziness that we have around us. And we have to figure out a way to bring it back to center.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's times where I've called even Lori and said, should I even think this way? Am I okay to feel this way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's like having the right people around you.
Yes.
And you just, like you said, I think that sometimes we're afraid that to step outside of that why, to go, okay, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay to learn something, you know, and it's okay to take that jump. To take that leap, to leave that job. But look, this is not an easy world.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy to run a business. It's not easy to figure through all the noise, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
But it is all about connecting to
the right people.
Yeah, and get good at discerning. Like, nope, I know you've been in my world for a while, but no longer, because now my journey is taking me in a either a different direction, or I want to expand what I've been doing. I know for me, that's one of the things, and it's tough because some people have been on the journey a really long time. I mean, especially like good friends. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you now are going to just get a little piece, not everything, because back to what you were saying, well-meaning, but it's fear-based. It's their projection of their ideas of who they think we are or what we ought to be doing. And sometimes they're trying to put a brake on us, and it's like, no, like, no. I've got to go. I've got to do this thing because it's for me. It's in me.
Now, who is your sounding board? Like, who do you trust with the information? Like, is it your husband? Is it
definitely. Yeah. Luke is my rock.
Yeah, I know that.
He grounds me.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been together for 34 years, so he knows me very well.
That's wonderful.
And he really grounds me. And I don't go to him first sometimes, but for some things I do, and I have my good friends that are my coaches, and but there's a wonderful thing that happens when you are in that community of women. I mean, for me, it's women because that's who I coach.
Yeah,
of women who are like-minded, and they're reaching and they're doing the work because the work is hard to stay anchored. Mm-hmm. It takes work.
Yeah.
It takes work.
It takes a lot of work.
Yeah. But I ask every woman when they join my program in the beginning, what do you want to manifest? Speak it out.
Yes.
And I'll tell you what.
It happens. Yes.
Because we're all rooting for you. Yeah. We're all in this together and we're talking about it. And we're talking about the fears that come up. We make fear our bitches. Okay.
I think that, and also.
It's important.
I'm going to say this. In a world of intimidation, because I think that there are some people that like to intimidate others to make them think that they're not, that they don't have the ability to do whatever it is that they want to do or love or whatever. Make it your own.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you don't have to follow, you know, the same people just because you think that that's what you want. You have to stay in tune of who you are.
Absolutely.
Which voice is more prominent, yours? And that internal dialogue that you're having.
I was just going to talk about
everything outside. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's just too much noise.
Sometimes, you know, like I teach yoga and it's not the same as anybody else, you know, and people laugh and they cry and they scream. And we do things in yoga that they never thought, you know, oh, here comes Nicki Minaj. She's playing Nicki Minaj. We're flowing in vinyasa. Oh, yeah. But then she's taking us to a journey. It's like, be yourself.
Yeah.
In this journey, you got to be yourself and you got to just like be true to you.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, you're...
I think that being authentic and being yourself is something that I think we get lost in for a while. Because like I said, we go through this journey of just playing those roles. And then I think sooner or later, I think there might be a time where we actually see it and we just have to recognize it. And me, I think my journey here lately is just laugh more.
Mm-hmm.
Like be me, dance more, sing. Mm-hmm. I dance. I could be working out and I'm dancing by myself in the gym. And I realize that I'm dancing. I'm like,
it's okay though.
And I'm like, okay, let's keep jamming.
Whatever it takes for you to continue to do the thing.
Yes. Yeah, no, I mean, I want to wake up and feel good.
Yeah.
You know?
Listen to that because our internal intuition knows what it needs, and sometimes it's missing that, which is why I think it comes out like the silliness, the dancing, like we just haven't. And if we stay in that serious mode for too long, I think, you know, you even miss seeing things in the world, like opportunities in the world, because you are stuck.
Well, I've been told, you know, when somebody tells you, and you've heard it on a couple of occasions when people go, Carla, you seem very intimidating. And I'm like, well, I don't think so, but I think it's because I don't let you in. Mm. And that's fine. I don't necessarily want everybody in. And I am guarded and I am protective. I don't trust people. But when you've earned that trust, I'm gonna let you in. I mean, we're gonna have a good time and we're gonna have fun and we're gonna enjoy each other. Yeah. And I'm gonna say stupid stuff and I'm gonna be, you know what I mean?
Authentic.
I'm gonna be as authentic.
Transparent.
And I'm gonna
the big word, vulnerable.
Yes.
Like that. I think that's when you've got your tribe or your circle, your people.
Yeah.
Like when you can say the stupid things or do the stupid things or whatever. I mean, being vulnerable. And I will say thank you for our social researcher, Brené Brown, for her work of actually putting that conversation into a corporate world, because so often it was that. It was, you have to be this box person and you have to act a certain way. And just, was it yesterday? I think I was reading this clip from someone who is prominent actually here in Huntsville, but I thought it was interesting because what she was saying was, watch what you wear. And it was sort of like reestablishing a box again. And I'm like, ooh, I can't quite go there, because I think people just need to have that ability to be authentic and real for whoever they are. Because if we are, then we're going to have the energy to move through this world in a way that makes sense for us.
Well, let's just be honest. Life is too freaking short.
Yeah.
It's too short. Yes. Right?
And so when did you learn it? When did you learn that life was too short?
When I got really sick.
Okay. So for you, it was a personal manifestation, feeling sick.
Really?
Yeah. When, okay. And I get emotional thinking about it because that's when it really hit me. Like, wow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tomorrow's
what's
not promised.
Wrong with me.
Kind of thing.
Mm. I mean, they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me.
Yeah.
And they, you know, threw things, you know, out there. Lupus or, you know, this or MS or that, you know, and it's like.
Some serious diagnosis. Yeah.
And it was like in a day. You know, life is
too short.
It's not granted that tomorrow you'll be here. You
so hearing you say that, what changed in your mindset, like as that was happening for you?
That I really had to be more present in my life.
That is so to me. Yes. So important because I'll tell my event, but I'm curious to know when you learned life was too short for you.
To be honest with you, I think when my kids graduated and went off to college, and I'm not saying that I was a very strict parent. There was a lot of discipline when it came to certain things that I expected, but I also wanted them to have the stability that they could hold a job, pay for their own bills. You know, so that they know that going out of leaving this house, they had to be an adult instantly. Mm-hmm. And it was, listen, the first year or two for the kids, you know, for the twins and even my oldest daughter, you can see this transition in them, you know, of their ups and downs. And I feel like they need me more now than they were in high school, I think. But when they left, I went, okay, what do I do with my time? Like, my life was all about my kids and my work. And with that balance uneven, I put my life into my work and I realized, what am I doing with my life? I'm working more now than before. And why am I living my life like this? Like, why am I working 7 days a week? And I started questioning everything. And then the last year I was like, I need to enjoy me. And I've put my time in. I've made people lots of money. I've built businesses into companies. And I've put all that energy into my kids. And I was like, wait a minute, what about me? And I lost myself. And so I realized in the last year, I'm like, wow, I'm hitting 50 something. And
I'll say it.
We're all here at the 50 category.
I'm 50.
I'm 54.
Love the Saturday Night Skit. I want to do it.
I have 50.
But I'm 51. And I'm proud to say that because
I'm the old one in the group.
High five. High five on 50.
But I realized that I was like, oh my gosh, that I'm still strong. I'm still, I'm smart still. You know, I haven't lost all those brain cells. And I want to start living life. Like I could think back when I was younger and the struggles that I went through, I wouldn't wish on anybody being a kid or, you know, all the way up to high school, the holes that I was put in and figured out how to do by myself, being out when I was 16, 17 years old on my own, putting myself through college. And making some adult decisions when I wasn't ready, and I made them. And I look at the forks in that road, and I could have taken a right or I could have taken a left. And I look back and I'm like, wow, I can't even believe I'm still here. If you only knew. Right. But I'm proud to say I'm still living and thriving and changing. I think metamorphosis is existing and we continue to turn into this beautiful butterfly. Mm-hmm. And and I know that sounds so crazy, but absorb it.
Yes.
Absorb the light, absorb that energy, absorb that happiness, and it's okay to smile and laugh and act like a fool every once in a while.
I tell women that all the time, like, don't ever stop being a seeker.
Keep
seeking.
And let your light shine because people were going to want to dim it all the time.
Well, we'll talk about the second part is a smack of reality. So the reality is that we talk about anchoring your life and the things that we went through and getting here where we're at. But the smack of reality is that we have to deal with certain situations that come up every day. Mm-hmm. Right? So how do you handle, how do you handle situations like when somebody calls you up and says, hey, I've got this trouble, or hey, how about that you are, you've got your day planned out and you got someone calling you saying, I need to talk to you. Can you spend an hour with my drama? How do you absorb that?
Not knowing that it's going to be an hour of their drama. Yeah.
How do you handle
it? You know, when you get a call.
Just be there?
Oh, no. No, you have to.
Boundary it up. Listen, that is one thing that I have definitely I've learned and picked up on. And I have them probably stronger than some, just because having kind of cut my teeth in the corporate world and went through that and then went out on my own and had a lot of other people, because of the consulting work that I was doing was with a lot of other organizations. And so getting pulled in all these different directions. And finally, it was like, everybody's going to want a piece of your time. They're going to want something from you. Mm-hmm. And the only one that controls it is you, is to put that border and boundary around it. So I'll put off. I mean, yes, it's your 911, but your emergency doesn't make it mine in the sense that I want to, but to honor the people's time that I've already committed to. I've got to honor that first and foremost.
Is that why you don't answer my phone calls?
Sometimes. To be honest. Sometimes.
Yeah, so Lori,
if my work is down, it's on Do Not Disturb. It's my boundary.
When I need Lori, Lori just kind of puts me in voicemail. No, I'm just kidding.
And I don't put you to voicemail. It probably is already established.
And there's so many more people now that have their phones on Do Not Disturb. I mean, because you get that notification, right? You see it. And it's like, yeah, kudos to
you. By the way,
you.
I put my phone up at 8 o'clock at night now. And don't touch it.
Good.
Yay. And the only thing I get is like every once in a while I get a notification if it's my kids.
Or
that's
me.
Perfect. Or Lori gets to my voicemail.
From now on, Lori is going to voicemail.
Lori is going to go to my voicemail from now on. Just hear me out.
But I'm here's the thing. I'm okay with it. I actually teach people to do that. Like, I'm working with leaders and I'm like, your people don't need to see that you're sending them an email at 4 a.m. Just because you're up and doing the work, it doesn't mean people need to be imposed upon. And on the other side of that is expecting a response. I don't expect a response. There's a reason why we have texts that we can send it. And I'm okay that I see Do Not Disturb because I understand borders and boundaries.
I've learned not to answer emails over the weekend either. Like I used to handle every call that came in, every text that came in, every email that came in, because I felt like everything was an emergency or important. Yeah. And I taught the wrong thing. I taught my clients that I was accessible all the time. And then I realized, and I'd be sitting there having coffee, you know, 6, 7 o'clock, having work. All of a sudden my phones are ringing and I'm like, why are you calling me at 7 o'clock in the morning? I don't even want to talk to you right now. And so I've learned not to answer the phone. I've learned to not to reply to the text message until the next day. I've learned a lot. I've bent my own rules. And so I've reestablished those rules. Mm-hmm. And so I think now that has given me that clearer mind so that maybe I can go sit in front of a Netflix and watch, you know,
10 seconds of a show.
Well, I mean, no, I can binge watch a little bit now. And so, you know, I'm watching, you know, I can go and have me time and do, you know, do some
vacation and not have to wait for 5 years.
Well, listen, yes, I did. I took my very first real vacation in probably 5 or 6 years. And that's,
yay.
I know that sounds horrible, but when I was busy with kids, busy with my work, busy trying to move, buy land, you know what I mean? So life was in that rotation. Mm-hmm. And so now it's like, pencil that in on this week, pencil that next month. Mm-hmm. And so I'm literally going, I watched there was an article I read across and I was like, why can I not get time in? Like, what's wrong with this? Like, every time I turn around, I'm filling my calendar with this busy person and this busy conference call and this meeting. And why is it not working? So this lady, she pre-plans her calendar for the year. And so what she does, she goes, all right, we're going to take vacation in June. We're going to do something.
Oh, well, that I can do. Yeah.
Like personalized, like the block for the vacation.
I was not doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't doing it.
I didn't this year yet, but I have in the
past.
He's
looking at me like, you're crazy, Carla. You go into my resort. You need to go to Nashville.
My retreat.
You're going to go to Puerto Rico. You're going to Nashville. And you're going to Gunnersville.
You know where to find me.
Okay. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know.
She'll pencil that in the fall.
But yeah, that's what I want every woman to create, like a pilgrimage for themselves. Mm. And that's retreat is your pilgrimage. Like you go and retreat for you. Mm-hmm. And to like re-anchor and find that alignment. Yeah. Because we can lose ourselves very easily.
I'm an introvert, extrovert.
Ambivert.
Ambivert. Is that the word?
Uh-huh. When you're both.
I think a lot of people are.
Mm-hmm. You learn, because we all have a tendency on one side or the other of that's introvert, extrovert. Really, a lot of it has gotten a misnomer because people say, extrovert, you're just out there. It's how do you charge your, what is necessary for you to charge your battery? Mm-hmm. Do you need to be with people and you absorb that energy because that gives you energy? Or do you need to push away and go off and, you know, find some total me time? Watch a movie, read a book.
I love listening to music. Music. And one of the focus things that I do, a lot of times, like if I'm working and I need to just focus, I put on high frequency sounds. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it keeps me so guarded in that where I'm being productive. And because I can, you know, bounce off the wall a little bit and go here and do this and that. Puts me in that focus, so I listen to a lot of music.
I put a bed listening to binaural beats.
Yeah, because you're an instrument. Mm-hmm. It's like you're attuning yourself to that frequency.
We should do a little meditation.
Next podcast.
You know where to find
us. Yes.
So we can definitely start with a meditation next time.
Yeah, let's do it. I say let's do it. Yeah. So we're at pretty much almost the end of our podcast. Is there any, I would like to ask, go around the room, is there a tip that or a suggestion or an idea or some sort of motivation or inspiration that you would say you would give somebody right now? Like what would be one of those things you would do?
What I preach is make time for yourself. First thing in the morning is a non-negotiable.
How long?
I say 20 minutes if you can, and do it before you even have a cup of coffee.
So what would you say is the best, like what would you say, how would you say to do it? Get up and do some yoga?
No, not even. Your pajamas is like you go from bed and you go sit down and you just be in silence for 20 minutes.
I know, isn't that precious?
It is the most amazing gift you can give to yourself. To do that and to just kind of like clear whatever noise you have, because you know sometimes we don't sleep well because we still have so much, we need to clear it out before we start the day. So that is the biggest gift you can give yourself, is non-negotiable. It's rude if you go out there in the world and you haven't done that. It's just like the same as not brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
You wouldn't go out to the world.
Right?
Like some that. That's people. Just rude.
Some.
So don't go out into the world with a cluttered mind, please.
I like clutter.
But I think what you just said
you like clutter?
You like clutter. I think that's why we have crazies on the drive freeway.
Well, first of all, I did not realize that I was doing that. So I learned that technique. Mm. Where I would get up before everybody else got up in the mornings. My husband was like, what are you doing? Why are you getting up so early? And I was like, because it's silent. Mm-hmm. And I can get up and I can have a cup of coffee and I can sit and think about my day. Mm-hmm. And the silence was amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I miss that silence with six dogs in my house right now.
I was going to say, you have a pack that's not going to leave the silence for
you. I have a pack of
you.
Six dogs in my house, people. I've got some land. I promise you, they're great. I love it. I get cuddles. I read licks in the face and cuddles.
The hugs.
So what would you say you would do?
Remind me the question, because I'm still in meditation mode, so let me come out of my meditation mode. Yes. I get my singing bowl. To be grounded, to be ready for the day. I'm pretty much in that same thought. I mean, I get up, I have my morning routine, quiet, and whether it's meditation or prayer, I mean, there's different avenues that I pursue with that. And just kind of a little bit, the add that I would have to that is some physicality, because a lot of people go to a desk job and don't do their physicality in the morning. And even if it's just like 5 minutes of some stretching as you get out of bed and move through your shower or before or after, whatever, just some movement of the muscles before you go, for those that have the desk job that have to sit all day, you know, because you don't get movement, because you go from your house to your car to your desk and back again. And a lot of people are trying to do the workout after without having blood flow and body movement during their day. So I would, for me, some form of stretching. So whether that's yoga or some deep stretches for 5 minutes or so. But yeah.
Well, I mean, if I can, so here's my advice, is that I think you have to have a routine. A routine is important. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So the routine is that whatever it is that makes you happy, and stick to that routine. And don't deviate from that. And my thing is that I really enjoy going, I do work out a lot, but I also, like, that's my space. That's the one place that I can be where I'm not a businesswoman or a mom or a wife. It's that space where I can be genuinely me.
Yes.
And that, I think that no matter what, and when you have those spaces, that is so important, because that's when you start identifying those changes in your life that you need to recognize. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't take those times out, we get stuck, and I don't ever want to feel stuck. And so taking that time out, whether it's sitting for 20, 30 minutes or meditation or whatever it may be, take that minute where you don't look at your phone or you don't talk to anybody. It's not being rude, but it's, I think it's, routine is important. Routine.
Yes.
Because when we get away from that. Well, I think that we had a great podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think this was a great roundtable discussion.
Thank you.
We're going to do another one?
Yeah,
I think so. Yes.
Okay, so concluding our podcast series called...
Power Talk.
Echo. So we'll do another one. We'll set another one. And so hope you enjoyed it.
Bye.
Bye.